Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Getting creative in the auto industry.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. American carmakers are doing some serious brainstorming about their financial plight. The latest idea, according to the Financial Times, Daimler Chrysler would consider taking a minority stake in GM as payment for GM buying part or all of Chrysler. Doing a stock deal means GM wouldn't have to raise new cash, and Daimler Chrysler could benefit from the cost savings of merging the two carmakers. Two companies that aren't supposed to merge are XM and Sirius. They're the only satellite radio networks in the country. But they want to join forces, and this week they'll make their case before Congress. Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Under current FCC rules, XM and Sirius couldn't merge because they would become a monopoly. But the companies argue they do have competitors, everything from HD radio to iPods. Analyst Blair Levin of Stifel Nicolaus says the government may buy that argument.
This is like trying to define a rapidly morphing amoeba. What is the relevant market here? Does it include iPods?
So what are consumers supposed to do? American University economics professor Robert Lerman says don't buy any new satellite radio paraphernalia.
You may spend $100 on a device and find in 4 months from now that it doesn't pick up the stations that it was intended to pick up.
Lerman says while you're waiting, let Congress know what you think about the proposed merger. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Rising oil prices and trouble with the subprime mortgage market has Wall Street in a mini slump. The Dow starts the day at 12,647 after dropping about 1% last week. The S&P 500 is at 1,451. It lost 0.33%. The Nasdaq begins at 2515. It actually gained 0.8 for the week. Oil is trading at $61.50 a barrel this morning.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Now, even though the Dow had its worst week since August, Wall Street did set a significant record last week. We asked Newsweek's Alan Sloan to explain it.
What's now called the Dow Wilshire 5,000, which is the broadest measure of the U.S. stock market, finally hit a record close for the first time since March of 2000. And except for me and I guess the people at Wilshire, nobody cared. It's just hilarious.
Why doesn't anybody care?
Because nobody cares about the Wilshire. The oldest stock market indicator we have of the Dow Industrials, which date back to, I believe, 1896 or 1898. Mm-hmm. Then there's the S&P 500, which is what everybody uses for comparative purposes, real analysis. And that really dates back in its modern form only about 50 years. And the Wilshire started in 1970. So even though the Wilshire is by far the best indicator, by the time it appeared, the Dow had captured, I would say, 96% of the public mind share. If you woke me up in the middle of the night and said, Alan, how's the market doing? I would answer with the Dow.
So the Wilshire is all of the stocks that are traded on the American exchanges?
Yeah, it's all of the stocks that are based in the United States that are publicly traded. So you know, because some of the stocks on the U.S. exchanges are foreign stocks.
Right.
But it's every U.S. stock that's publicly traded and has what, you know, a reasonably ascertainable stock market value. The Wilshire is really the only thing that is the market because it's the whole market. And the Dow is at average picked by two guys, you know, at Dow Jones. and the S&P is picked by a committee at Standard & Poor's. And by the way, last Tuesday, even though the Wilshire hit a high, the S&P 500 was still about 4% below its high.
So even though there was a bit of a dip at the end of the week, we can still play the happy music just for the Wilshire.
Right. And you have my permission to be officially upbeat.
Okay. Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome, Scott.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Remember the scare in Boston a few weeks ago? Some people thought a cartoon ad campaign was a bomb attack. Well, we have another marketing scheme gone awry. Stephen Beer joins us from London. Stephen, tell us about this one.
If you were planning a promotional stunt which involved a treasure hunt, getting people to locate and then dig up a prize, where would be the last place you'd want to bury the treasure?
Let me guess. a cemetery in Boston.
Yeah, pretty good. This was the brilliant idea that a British confectionery giant, Cadbury Schweppes, or at least its agents, came up with. They were promoting their Dr. Pepper soft drink in the US, and they had a treasure hunt. The idea was to bury gold coins in various locations around the States. The trouble was that one of these coins was buried in the 347-year-old Granary Burying Ground in Boston, where some of America's most revered historic figures are buried, such as Samuel Adams, John Hancock, and Paul Revere.
And how did Cadbury respond to this?
Well, Cadbury's covered in embarrassment. I mean, the parks commissioner in Boston said, "This is an absolute affront to the people who are buried there, our nation's ancestors." Cadbury Schweppes, they've apologized profusely and acknowledging that the decision to bury the coin in a cemetery was poor judgment.
To say the least. And did they bury these coins anywhere else?
The winning coin, or at least the most valuable coin, the coin that could be redeemed for more than $1 million, was buried near the Spirit of Confederacy statue in Sam Houston Park in Texas. Not quite as bad as the cemetery, but I could see some potential for mayhem and damage there too.
Exactly. All right, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Stephen Beard in London. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a good Monday.
American Public Media.